Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, mesdames, messieurs. I'm very glad that I can present some aspects of the reintroduction of Atlantic salmon to River Rhine. I will try to be very brief in my presentation. I really hate short lunch breaks, particularly in France, so we should have probably a shorter presentation. Well, I will talk about the historical situation of Atlantic salmon in the River Rhine, the history and the reasons for the reintroduction program named Salmon 2020. I will show you some monitoring stations and available habitat in the Rhine system. We will talk about migration and barriers in the Rhine system and look at some trends and a conclusion to all this. Well, on the left map you see the different sections of River Rhine, and here all these green rivers, this is the historical habitat of Atlantic salmon in the Rhine system. So you can see that the salmon traveled from the Dutch border at the Dutch coast all the way up to Switzerland in very, very small streams, and up the Main River, for example, up to the Alsace region. And it used to be a really large habitat which was inhabited by Atlantic salmon. Well, as you know, the decline of Atlantic salmon happened in the end of the 19th century. It really started, and this is the catch of salmon in Germany and the Netherlands. And the reasons were, of course, pollution, barriers to migration, over-exploitation and habitat destruction, much the same factors as you have them in the Allier as well. And the historical population size, I reckon, must have exceeded 1 million returners per year. So it was probably the largest salmon river in the world, the former Rhine system. Well, here again, a few examples: barriers, over-exploitation, habitat degradation, and pollution. These factors really wiped out salmon, and at the end of World War II, salmon was extinct in the Rhine system. Then something remarkably happened. The Sandoz accident in Switzerland. Actually, it's the Swiss which are bringing back salmon to Rhine River, because this accident really changed the world at the Rhine. It was a blast in 1986 in a chemical factory named Sandoz, and this blast killed fish along the Rhine for hundreds of kilometers. And shortly after that, the International Commission was charged to draft a plan to change the situation. And in 87, the Rhine ministers approved the so-called Rhine Action Plan. And in this Rhine Action Plan, the most important aim to us was the restoration of Atlantic salmon populations in the Rhine system. And the salmon was kind of a flagship species. It was chosen to show that a very, very long-distance migrating fish like the Atlantic salmon, who goes all the way up in the system, can be reintroduced in the Rhine system itself. Well, and the salmon, of course, is a symbol of clean water. So here's the aims today of the Salmon 2020. The program ended in 2000. We didn't manage to reintroduce salmon in this short time, so they gave us another 20 years. And the careful estimate is that 20 up to 30,000 salmon today can migrate upstream when we really improve the situation. Natural reproduction and self-sustaining populations, of course, is an aim. And you see the maps. Well, during the past 15 years, more than 16 million juvenile salmon have been released in the Rhine catchment, and the returning salmon are currently detected at 7 monitoring stations, which are listed here. one in the Netherlands, Westerfort, somewhere in Germany, Koblenz-Moselle is here, and of course Iffertheim and Gamsheim in the Upper Rhine region. This is some impressions from River Sieg in Germany, where I spent quite a lot of my time. And this graph here shows you the available habitat, the habitat which is still intact enough to be used by Atlantic salmon. And this is the accessible habitat in the Rhine River system up to now. So we only have 22% of the habitat accessible in the Rhine system. And of course, in River Moselle there's none, in River Main near Frankfurt there's none, and upstream Strasbourg there is none at the moment accessible. So there's a lot of things to do, but 22% is a good start, I think, in such a big system. If we look at the migration routes, of course, the Netherlands are the gateway for all migratory fish, and salmon, smolts, and adults have to pass this area. And it's quite important to know that the Rhine Delta has three branches. It's the Isel up here, it's the harbour of Rotterdam, where fish have free access, there's no barrier there. And we have another big, big sluice, it's the Haring Fleet. This is a picture of the Haring Fleet barrier. And these are discharge sluices. They protect the Netherlands for big floods. And they are not open permanently. They open only at high discharges of River Rhine, which means smolts in some years might migrate downstream. And when they come back, the Haring Fleets are probably closed because of lower discharge. So it is very difficult for Atlantic salmon and other migratory fish to find the entrance to River Rhine. There have been many government plans in the Netherlands to change the situation. The latest plan says they will open the Haring Fleet sluices with a gap in the year 2018. To open this gap is very, very important for us, for the migratory fish, but it is it's a big political problem in the Netherlands, because this will mean that salt water will come inland and they have to rebuild the freshwater system, agriculture, etc. It will cost them millions of euros, and this is why they have been very reluctant. And it's a psychological thing too, to let the sea coming into Dutch territory. They're very, very fuzzy about that. So this is the reason why it took so long. Well, the situation in the Upper Rhine, you see, hopefully the pointer there. We have Iffertheim and Gamsheim. They are monitoring stations with big fish passes, vertical slot passes, and we still have to open at least four more big dams, so that the old Rhine can be reached by salmon, and finally Switzerland. So there's still a lot to do in our part in the Upper Rhine as well. Well, the International Commission is quite happy to announce that salmon migration is again possible at some 480 obstacles to this. Something going on in the Rhine system, in the tributaries. It has to do with water framework directive as well. There is a change in the minds of people as well. Engineers think different, and these 480 obstacles, that's the beginning. I'm pretty sure that in about 10 years' time we will have much more on that list. If you're interested in it, you can look at the homepage of the International Commission. Well, in the Rhine itself, it's a very big stream. Is it possible to build fish passes which function in a way that salmon come up in big numbers? Will there be a sufficient run upstream? Do salmon find the entrances to these fish passes? There's some data I show you here. This is River Sieg and Moselle. You don't look at them, but Lachs, salmon in Iffertheim and in Gamsheim. they really travel in all over the year, and indeed, sorry, you can't see the numbers, but 93% have passed the fish pass in October already, so that's well before spawning time. They do pass gums time right in time, and in November it's 99% of the fish which have passed this fish pass. This is a strong indicator that salmon are able to find this fish pass in time, and they don't get in conflict with their time budget. Same thing here. This shows you the passage of effort time and gums time. You see the line that's effort time and the dotted line that's gums time, particularly for sea trout and in most years for salmon as well. There's only a very, very short time between the fish entering effort time and then again entering gums time, so that again strongly indicates that it is possible for Atlantic salmon to find the fish pass in gums time. Physically, they don't have any problems anyway to pass this fish pass. And this is a graph which is interesting. We will probably talk about climate change as well, which is a big worry. 2003, we had the hottest summer in Central Europe, and the water temperature in the Rhine River went up to 30 degrees and more, 30, 31 degrees, which was a big worry for us. And to our surprise, this is the year 2003, it's the red one. Not to our surprise, the migration stopped in the end of July when it got really hot, but then it took on again when the water temperatures cooled down. And when you compare it to other years, there is no indication that these high temperatures in 2003 did any harm to the salmon migration. This does not mean that we will not have problems in the future. It just shows that salmon is a very flexible species. They probably found cooler spots and survived there. It's not encouraging us to not look at climate change, but it shows that salmon are quite flexible. This is the trend of the returners in the Rhine system. In the past 2 years, we didn't get any data from the Delta Rhine, but it shows that with the beginning of stocking, the numbers in the Rhine system went up from 1999 onwards. We had a bit of a problem in 2004-05, and then again here the numbers seem to go down. And this is a graph of data from the Middle Rhine section where I work, my rivers, so to say. And again here you see that there is a strong decline in the year 2010, 11, and 12, and it affects not only salmon, it affects sea trout as well. So we think that we do have a problem in the migration corridor, which affects the migrating salmonids, sea trout, and salmon in probably the same way. So there is a negative trend in the past 3 years. We are looking for explanations for this phenomenon. We have, of course, hydroelectric power plants, which are a problem for salmon populations. But this is a situation which hasn't changed that much in the past years. So, yes, we do worry about the negative human impacts, particularly in the tributaries, the small hydroelectric power plants, which are bloody useless because they produce almost no energy and do a big harm to the environment. But again, this is probably not the main reason for the decline in the return rate in the past 3 years. Another factor is probably poaching, illegal fishing, bycatch. We do know that there's a lot of illegal fishing in the coastal region of the Netherlands traditionally. And but because we got more and more salmon back in River Rhine, there's more and more people encouraged to go angling for salmon as well. And many people now seem to know where the resting spots, the resting pools are for those salmon. This is only a little statistic we made of the incidents you find in the internet or in the papers of salmon caught, and you see that these numbers are going up. Here probably people got more careful, but if you compare it to the former years, there's a lot going on in the angling scene as well. And I know that on a good angling spot in the River Rhine, you can catch a salmon per hour. That's not bad. Some people go to Sweden for that, but you can do it in the Rhine as well if you know where to go. Other factors are we have more predators like cormorants, asp, catfish, so on. More hydropower stations in some regions. Climate change, I mentioned it with the high water temperatures, or the very, very dry November 2011, where salmon physically were not able to enter the spawning rivers, another big problem, which has to do with climate change, and probably is more serious than the rise in temperature. It's rather the lack of water, probably, we have to look at. And we have more very large container ships in the Delta Rhine and in the Lower Rhine, and nobody really knows what harm these big ships can do to salmon. We have indications this is a fish, a salmon killed by a propeller, by a ship propeller, this one too. We have indications that more and more migratory fish, large fish, get in contact with these ship propellers and, of course, get killed. Now, this is an encouraging graph. Don't read it. Just have a look at it. The red fields, this is rivers all along the Rhine system where salmon projects are going on, from the Lower Rhine up to Switzerland. And these red colors show the rivers and years where salmon had access to these rivers, where they could enter and reproduce. And the yellow ones show that there was limited access, and green is good access, so they can reproduce. And it just shows that wherever the access was given, wherever fish could enter these rivers, we had a very good natural reproduction. In some years, we even had a very, very good natural reproduction. And this shows, in principle, that the reintroduction can be done, that the tributaries, the quality of many tributaries, is good enough to allow a natural reproduction and a real reintroduction. So the conclusions are we have river-specific problems like dams, weirs, hydroelectric power stations, navigation, habitat quality, temperature. And these factors haven't improved significantly in the past years. Some even got worse, like poaching or bycatch. So we have to watch this. The return rate to the spawning rivers is still insufficient. We have to work on this in the migration corridor. And the documented natural reproduction and the fish pass efficiency we can achieve nowadays are clear indicators that the reintroduction can be achieved, and yes, that salmon can finally move as far upstream as Switzerland and recolonize the rivers up there in this beautiful country. Finally, we have to remember it's a reintroduction. We lost the genes of the Rhine salmon. It's gone forever, and we have to build it up again. We have to think about the sources we use for this reintroduction, and we have to give the whole thing time, because the reintroduction is finally an adaptation process which goes over many generations, and we just have to allow the salmon to do that. Thanks a lot.